Lord, we thank you. We thank you for these words that have been shared through William Murphy. Praise is what we do, even when we're going through. Lord, speak to our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Receive our praise and worship as we listen to your preached word, and let us respond accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the choir another hand. Let me call your attention to a parallel version of what our scripture reader shared with us from the gospel according to Matthew. And please put an insert in Matthew as it relates to Matthew, the 16th chapter. But in Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says these words. And then Jesus said to them all, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to call your attention to your sermon notes, and our sermon notes remind us that our Lenten Easter theme is living the power of the cross. And it's based from 1 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 23rd verse that reminds us, for the word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to those who are being saved. I want to share with you out of the context of our sermon theme, and of course you're going to see it on the screen, it leads us to the way to the cross, the way to the cross. Let's say it together, the way to the cross. In the backdrop is a picture of the Via Della Rosa. The Via Della Rosa is the backdrop in which we will share before we get to the Easter celebration. The Via Della Rosa points directly to what was shared a few moments ago through our pastoral prayer. The Via Della Rosa deals with the way of sorrow, the way of suffering, the way of grief. It is here that is recorded in history that Jesus carried the cross. I don't know what your Via Della Rosa experience is today, and you don't have to go to Jerusalem, but we all have a cross to bear. Amen. Your cross may be shaped differently than my cross, and vice versa. But we all have a cross to bear. So the question that I want to ask you this morning, what is your expectation of why you're here this morning? Yeah. Why are you here today? Look to your neighbor and ask that question. Yeah. Why are you here today? What is the expectation? Are you here out of duty? Maybe a spouse or a parent encouraged you to come to church and you knew, hey, to keep things cool, I'm gonna just go ahead and suffer through. Are you here out of habit? It's just part of your habit, part of your upbringing. Or to see and be seen? Are you here for the love for the church? Are you here to worship? To worship, to praise God from whom all blessings flow. Let me share this with you, and it's a great leeway into the text. On Wednesday, Rich, Lee, Beverly, and Teresa, and yours truly, we had to go to a district meeting that the superintendent called, and the superintendent was meeting with a lot of different church leaders. And he shared something that really responds to this question. He shared that when he experienced the General Conference, his experience of the General Conference was saddened because of what occurred on the last day. You remember that? And he shared, as it relates to seeing folks just kind of act out of character, or Christian character, if you will, to put it in context. And he talked about that experience. And then, because, you know, I was one of the delegates, he called me up and asked me to give my take. And of course, indeed, the last day was not the day that we all was looking forward to. But I shared that positive twist. Well, not the last day that I take away. It was the first day. Because the first day dealt with 8 hours of praying and worship. Praying and worship. But he reminded us in the context of his remarks that it's not the general conference that makes disciples. It is not even the Southeastern jurisdiction that make disciples. It's not even the annual conference that make disciples. Well, who? It's the church. The church of Jesus Christ. We have been called out to call in the world. We're called as the church to be the ecclesia, the ones who are called out to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should come to God's church to get refilled and to worship. Amen? Praise is what I do. Praise is what I do. When I want to get closer to God, I can lift my hands in praise. It doesn't matter the circumstances. Times are good or times are bad, whether I'm happy or sad. Praise is what I do. You don't believe that? Let me call your attention. If you have your Bibles, look at Psalms 150. David explicitly shared as it relates to praising God. David calls us in the question. He says, praise ye the Lord. Praise him where? In the sanctuary. It's right there in your Bibles. Just read it. I'm not making it up. Praise him in the sanctuary. Praise him according to the firmaments of his power. Praise him according to his excellence. Praise him with all the instruments. Praise him with the string instruments. Come to the concert next Sunday. Yeah. Praise him. Praise him with the harp. Praise him with the cymbal. Praise him with the loud cymbal. Let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. We're here to praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now you look closely in the text as Jesus was sharing with his disciples and he was making his way as it relates to the Via Dolorosa, the first station of the cross. Jesus Christ was sharing with his boys, his homies, if you will, and he was sharing with them his inner circle, his disciples. He was sharing with them as it relates to his life. Now, if you have your Bibles, look at Matthew, the 16th chapter. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, Jesus is getting ready, and Dr. Crawford pointed it out in the children's sermon, he's getting ready to take the disciples through examination. And one of the disciples, known as the loud mouth, the spokesman of the group, self-appointed, Peter. Jesus asked them, who, as it relates to his identity, who are they saying that I am? Some said thou Elijah, some said John the Baptist, some said one of the prophets. But here's Peter. Peter got it right. Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Have you ever passed an exam and then you flunked the next test? Yeah. You had it going on for that minute. You were on the apex of the mountain. You got it right. And then, boy, when he asked you again, oh, my Lord, what happened? That's what happened to Peter. You don't believe that? Keep reading. Look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, verses 21 to 23. He's going to call Jesus to have one-on-one time, Brad. He's going to call him out. I want him to have that one-on-one time with me. Jesus shared with the disciples concerning his own life, his DNA. He told them that he was heading towards a cross. Peter, self-appointed, decided he would have one-on-one time with God. You don't believe that? Look at the scriptures, 21 to 23 in the 16th chapter of Matthew's gospel. He has this one-on-one time with Jesus, and Jesus is sharing for the very first time, but not the last, He's sharing for the very first time with the disciples that he's going to die on a cross. Now the backdrop, and to give you some historical facts, is for us to remember this is not the last time he'll share with the disciples, because if you want to write it down, he shares in Matthew the 16th chapter, Matthew the 17th chapter, then he goes a little further, he shares in Matthew 26. He shares with the disciples what's going to take place. But they couldn't believe that Jesus would die on a cross. Why? I'm glad you asked. Because in Jesus' day, cross was for common criminals. It was a sign of execution, the electric chair, if you will. And nowhere in the world Jesus is going to die on a cross. But oh yes, he was willing to die on a cross. So Peter has this one-on-one conversation with him. Remember Peter got an A a few moments ago? He said, Lord, this is not going to happen to you. What did Jesus say? Get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was thinking with worldly vision, worldly eyes, and that can happen even in the church. Hello? We can do well at one moment, and the next moment, we can flunk. One moment we're high, we're doing well spiritually, everything is going well until we have a cross to bear. And Jesus was reminding Peter, as well as us today, to not think about those things which are worldly. Think about those things which God has placed in your hands. In fact, what is the purpose of the cross? The purpose of the cross. If you look closely in the Bible, you'll see how Jesus describes his cross. He takes it not out of the context of the worldly cross, but of sacrifice, of love, of victory. Jesus Christ clearly reminds us of a well-known quote. The cross is humanity at its worst, but God at its best. It reminds me of a woman who went into a jewelry store. She went into that jewelry store and she was so impressed of all the beautiful crosses. She heard the evangelist say, you ought to get you a cross. So she said to her husband, I want the most expensive cross. I want a shiny cross, a beautiful, elegant cross necklace that I can wear and show the world that I'm carrying the cross. The jewelry store owner heard her and said, ma'am, I'm sorry. Don't mean to butt in. You might not even buy anything from me after I tell you this. But this is not the cross. Jesus was saying to deny thyself, pick up and take thy cross. This is a shiny cross. He was referring to a wooden cross. He was referring to a cross that was beat up. But this here is a decorated cross. This won't even work as well. But you look at the cross here, and you have a time to come and there's little sticky notes and place your concern and then place it right here. Jesus was reminding us that there's going to be a little nails in the cross. There's going to be some bumps along the way. You remember the hymn that we shared at the beginning of the worship? It was called what? Oh, come on, choir. I led you right into that. It was called what? The old rugged cross. Old rugged cross, not a shiny cross. We all have a cross to bear. And we bear it because our commitment to Jesus Christ. Here's Peter trying to create a beautiful cross for Jesus to bear. But Jesus was reminding him, if you're thinking with worldly thoughts, you're not thinking on behalf of God and to keep everything in order. He was reminding him that God is first. You remember that passage that I shared with you as it relates to Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 33rd verse? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be what? Added unto you. God has called each and every one of us to be a team player. Look to your neighbor and say, are you a team player? Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you knew I was going to talk about it sooner or later. This is one of the best times of the year. We're going to have a good tournament in a few moments, but there's another tournament that's going to happen at 2 o'clock, and then they're going to play again at 5 o'clock. It is the NCAA basketball tournament. Yeah. You see those teams up there? You have six teams that are trying to win the championship. I'm going to share with you as it relates to not the team that I think is going to win, because I'm a Methodist. And I believe, this is my own thoughts, that Jesus was a Methodist. How do I know that? Look at his methodology. He says, if you're going to follow me, you must first what? Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me. He was a good Methodist. He was believing and following rules. He set the pattern. Now, my team, and Wayne could tell you, is right over there. My team to win a championship is, come on, Wayne, I let you right in there, man. Come on. You left me hanging. Duke, yes. Oh, I heard that. Howard say Michigan State. Yeah. Duke is a Methodist school. I went there. Duke is a Methodist school. My other school that was in there was Bethune-Cookman University. A girl team made it to the NCAA for the first time. They didn't stay long, but they made it. But that's not who I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about the Kentucky Wildcats. Yeah. I don't believe they're going to win, but okay, we'll give you that. Yeah. The Kentucky Wildcats have a player, P.J. Washington. Ralph, you know him well. Great, outstanding basketball player, the leader of the team. He got hurt before Friday night's game. They didn't even let him do the walkthrough. Now, those of you who don't know about basketball, that means practice, okay? They didn't start him the night of the game. He was willing to sacrifice in order that the team may go forward. They put him in the game. He did extremely well the first half. The second half, the coach did something very unusual. The coach said, hey, do you want to start? Guess what he said? No, sir. It's about the team. Make a long story short, coach finally put him in the second half, and boy, did he shine. And at the end of the game, the coach said, we would have not won that game had it not been for Mr. Washington. He was willing, he was willing to sacrifice his own skills for the sake of the team. What am I saying to you? What am I saying to me? As it relates to the church, we have to make sacrifices. We have to stay in our lane. Look how well Mr. PJ was willing to stay in his lane. And he did it for the team. Peter got out of his lane, and Jesus had to rebuke him, because Jesus wanted him to stay focused as it relates to the cross. It's a beautiful illustration, because if you look at the first point, and I'm going to help you fill in the blanks, and then I'm going to take my seat. Number one, as it relates to Jesus and what he was saying, we are called to lay something down. Deny thyself. To deny thyself. Not just in basketball, but in our spiritual walk with God. Self-denial is removing self as the dominant factor to focus on what God has called us to focus on. Self-denial. I'm going to deny myself in order to give God the glory. Perfect example is Jesus. Jesus never looked at himself for self-gratification. He always pointed others back to the Father. He stayed in his lane. Self-denial is extremely important. Point number two, we are called to lift something up. You see those young people? They're lifting up the cross into the church. They're reminding us that they too have a responsibility as it relates to children and youth and making a difference in the lives of the Christian church and witness. You don't believe that? On Friday night, to make a long story short, we had some youth and they were hanging out in the balcony. They brought their friends to church. How many of us as adults, we bring our friends, we bring those who we hang out with, those who we go to social affairs with, those who we play cards with, those who we have dances with? Do we bring them to church? Do we invite them to be a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We're to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and then lastly, we are called to live out our discipleship. How do we do that? By following Jesus. I want to share with you, and I'm getting ready to close, I want to share with you something that, and it could help us actually. Yesterday at painting, help me out with the name, Painting by a Twist. Painting with a Twist. I shared with the group. Wait a minute, I haven't even said nothing, you start laughing. This is a comedy show or something, but anyway. I shared with the owner of the group that I would allow her to take my beautiful painting and place it on her wall for free. She told me, you take it home. Yeah. Some people don't understand how Picasso got to the apex of the mountain. Not by being discouraged, but by being encouraged. So I shared with our group that I would give them first bids. Where are my folks? Right there, right there. Yep. Didn't I share this? I said, hey, I'll give you the first opportunity. If you give me $10,000 before I put it on eBay, you can get it now. They didn't take it. But how many of you know you got to believe in your own self? See, Jesus was reminding us as disciples, some things might not look good when we bear the cross. But know that he's with us even when we bear the cross. He's right there with us. And thank God that I have amazing grace, and I don't mind showing this to the world. Amen. As our praise band is coming, after service, if you want to give me $100,000, we can accomplish building our North Campus. Amen. But it's about God's amazing grace. It is his awesome grace that he gives each and every one of us. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. But it's God's grace. I invite you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. As I stand here at the altar and our acolyte is coming, I'm going to ask you to stand. And as our praise band is playing and sharing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. Amazing Grace.